Barrett Slee, you can read his work at CBSSports.com. Find him on CBS Sports HQ as well, making picks at Sportsline. He's all over the place. And, Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Yesterday, news came from Tennessee that the NCAA has cleared Cade Mays to play this fall. Now he needs approval from the SEC. So I guess two things here. One, would you anticipate that the SEC is going to clear Cade to play as a transfer from within the conference? If that does happen, what's the impact for Tennessee for Cade to be able to play?
Firstly, yeah, I do think that he'll get approval from the SEC. At this point, I understand undergraduates have to have special circumstances, but a lawsuit coupled with the uncertainty of the season seems to be enough. I mean, I would hope that's enough. So, and usually when the NCAA, has this, when an appeal is granted, it's in conjunction with the SEC and what the SEC will do, or any conference for that matter. So, I think he'll be there, and it's huge. Tennessee has three or four coaches, all SEC offensive linemen on the three teams. That's going to be awesome this year. It's going to be so important for Tennessee to have that kind of stability going into the season, because you'd think there wouldn't be much of an acclimation process. So, yeah, it's enormous for Tennessee. There's no doubt. But lastly, is there a reason you guys came out of break playing American Idiot when I came on? Because that does seem appropriate.
No, purely coincidental, Barrett.
I can't speak for Joel, who's producing there, Barrett. I would not even attempt to.
Well, Joel Silverberg, I'm coming after you, man.
I love it. Hey, Barrett, I know you've been bullish on Tennessee this year with the win-loss column. Does the Cade Mays news do anything to change your predictions, maybe up the ante a little bit for Tennessee, or had you already factored him in to your plans or to Tennessee's plans when you were making your predictions?
Well, I had pretty much already factored him in, because we made our initial picks back in early August. It was before he got denied, so it really doesn't change all that much for me. But it certainly, gives the possibility of an upset, greater likelihood. And that's just that's part of this deal. So, before the COVID shutdown, I had them beat Florida in week four. But moving that game back, I think, really eliminated that possibility, because, Florida will be able to figure out its sea legs and have a little bit more of an idea of what kind of team it actually is. So, it doesn't really change all that much, but certainly does increase the likelihood of an upset.
Barrett Slee is with us, CBSSports.com. How does the Big Ten's decision this week affect how you think this college football season plays out and how the playoff might look, especially with Ohio State looking to get some opt-ins back and Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis?
Yeah, I got Sean Wade back, and it sounds like Wyatt's trying to go through some motions a little bit trickier for him. It totally changes it, because I had Florida in as the number four seed even after losing the SEC championship game, and that's gone. I mean, I would say Ohio State would be in at this point. So, that's assuming Ohio State, really any comp, gets enough of a resume, assuming games are postponed and moved, how many games do you get? I think that debate came up the other day with Ohio State, but, the same argument can be said for the SEC. Any school can have a COVID outbreak and cause a postponement or a cancellation. So right now, I moved Florida out. I put Ohio State back in. But I think throughout all of this, the caveat is, what does the resume look like? And there are way more factors this year than maybe we've had in years past.
Barrett, my question going back to the coaches, all SEC preseason list, when you look at it last year, it was kind of a stretch to get to the number three guy, and people had penciled in Joe Burrow just as a sort of an afterthought, thinking that Tua was going to be the best player in the SEC. But looking at it this year, who could be that dark horse in the quarterback race?
Yeah, Bo Nix was 13th this year, so maybe history repeats itself. No, it might be him. Kellen Mond, I think we've sort of seen what he is. It's just, what you're going to get. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but, I think his upside maybe isn't what people thought it'd be when he signed with Texas A&M. So I'd say it's Bo Nix. They're going to give him more of the offense. They're going to give him more options in the passing game. Slant routes and passing routes over the middle have been basically non-existent in Gus Malzahn's offense the last couple of years, and really that's a staple of what Chad Morris wants to do. And I think we always have the debate of, is Gus actually going to take his hands off the offense and all this other stuff? Well, you know, typically the answer is no, he won't. But with Chad Morris to show, the answer might be yes, and it's certainly more likely to be yes. So I would say Bo Nix, because, you know, he's already got a nice, you know, foundation. And then moving forward, I think the offense will be much more suited to him, and he'll get more of a responsibility, you know, in the running game this year. They don't have a superstar at running back, but I think they've got an effective room. But that will definitely be aided by Bo Nix, if Bo Nix is able to run and given the opportunity to run more, because that dude can run. He's a really good athlete.
We're talking to Barrett Salee from CBSSports.com. What did you think of the news that Colin Hill, not Ryan Helinski, will be the starter at quarterback for South Carolina, and just where things stand for the Gamecocks a week away from the start of the season?
Wasn't terribly surprised. It seemed like it was going that direction for a little while now, which is, you know, I think on the surface a little strange, because Ryan Helinski was there. He was the incumbent, and he came in with a lot of hype. He was a highly touted kid, but with such a limited offseason, yeah, it's nice to be the incumbent like Ryan Helinski, but you're not the incumbent in that offense. You know, Colin Hill is, because he was with Mike Bobo at Colorado State. So, you know, I certainly get it. But it does sound like Colin Hill flat out beat out Ryan Helinski. It wasn't a situation where Helinski just struggled mightily and they have to go with somebody else. So, you know, surprised, yeah. Discouraged with South Carolina, just as discouraged as I was before. No, not surprised at all.
How excited are you that we only have to wait one more week to see SEC action? Because I'm hungry for it, Barrett.
I am too. You know, it was sloppy last week. You know, North Carolina looked good in the second or in the fourth quarter, but man, you saw a lot of sloppy football. I mean, Georgia Tech was the one exception. They were sloppy, but I mean, it was better than anybody had hoped. And you know, that was the one game where I just kind of found myself drawn into it, because you had Jeff Sims, who, you know, I think Jeff Collins, and talking to Jeff Collins, thought that he could do what he did against Florida State, you know, in the offseason, because they did get a few practices in, but I don't think anybody expected him to do what he did, you know, that well, because even on the two picks, he drove them down the field and looked as sharp as a veteran. So that one to me was nice. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens in the SEC. The 10-game conference schedule, I think, just adds so much to it, because in the end, when you really think about, you know, what all we have, we basically have this a better version of the regular season with fewer out-of-conference games, obviously zero, but with, you know, you take away Charleston Southern, you take away the Citadel, whatever, you know, this is going to be pretty exciting. So I'm excited to see what happens. I think it'll set the tone moving forward to, you know, expand to 9 conference games. Wish we'd go 10, but I doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, with you. Before you go, is Miami-Louisville the best college football game of the weekend, or would you go a different route?
Oh, I think so, 100%. You know, I don't know how many people watched Louisville last year, but Mikael Cunningham can flat-out play. And then Javian Hawkins is a solid running back. But, you know, when you have Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick both vying to be the top receiver on any given Saturday, that's a pretty explosive offense. And then, you know, Miami, with what happened against UAB, I just felt like that was a diet version of Barrett King. And knowing Rhett Lashley the way I do, I think that he probably saved some things, some really interesting creative things for week two, knowing that really they could handle UAB, I wouldn't say with ease, because it wasn't necessarily easy, but they knew they could get them and really didn't need to impress anybody. So I'm really excited to see what happens there. That's going to be a fun one.
Hey, and I said before you go, but the actual before you go, 10 games to go in the regular season, thoughts on where things are for the Atlanta Braves heading into the weekend with the Mets in this final week and a half of the regular season?
Well, great to get Freed back. And, you know, if Ian Anderson continues to do what he did and Kyle Wright does what he did last time out, a little bit more comfortable, but I've kind of given up on hoping for the World Series. I just want to win a postseason series. And I think they can do it. Look, if you score, if you have the offense that the Braves do, you don't have to get a whole lot out of your starting pitching. And even though it's been pretty bad lately, I still think you can find enough. The one thing that does scare me, though, is the playoff schedule being changed to, you know, a normal style regular season schedule. in regular years, I'd be all for that. But, you know, this year, that means you're going to have to go through the starting rotation basically the same way you did during the regular season, which when you get to 4 and 5 in the Braves rotation, that's when you're starting to pray a little bit.
Yeah, that's when you might need those 29 runs to pop back up again for the Braves lineup.
Would be
which could happen.
Be all for
Don't roll it out. At Barrett Salee, follow him on Twitter and check out his work, CBSSports.com, his picks at Sportsline.com as well. Hey, Barrett, enjoy this weekend. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, y'all. You too.